Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just come before you. I can't even imagine what's going on around you right now. And that worship is coming all over the earth to celebrate your birth. I can't imagine the angels that are surrounding you, the Father of glory, all that's taking place in your midst. And we come before you in a humble way today and we say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done on our behalf and your love for us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, first of all, today I want to talk about, of course, his humble birth and this humble king that came to live and to answer a few little questions that you may have. You may already know the answers, but these questions can be answered to many people that you come in contact with during the holiday season. I know that it's tough times and good times. It's hard for some folks going through this season, and it's really a blessing for others. And the main thing is that we are all about the reason for the season, and that is Jesus. And that's all I have to bring to you today. I'm blown away by how good he is, and I'm very thankful that you're here today and that you want to hear and you want to worship and you want to keep growing in the ways of God. I just encourage you to keep doing that. So we're going to talk about the humble king, the birth of Jesus. I've already said Merry Christmas to all of you. I want to make sure I get that again so I don't mess up. But why did he come to this earth? That's a question I want to tackle today. And what was the significance of his birth? And then really the main topic that we're going to talk about this morning is the worship. How do we worship this beautiful, loving, magnificent king? And there's some scripture that we're going to read regarding the Magi and when they came to bring gifts. But let me just answer the first question, and maybe you have the answer, but why did Jesus come to this earth? Because you're probably going to be asked that question, maybe if you're with some loved ones that don't know him. Why did he come to this earth? Well, he came to this earth to rescue every one of us. He came to rescue us from our sin, from the penalty of sin. And so if anybody has any question, why did he come? He came to rescue us. And the message of Christmas is this, that God the Father was not content to allow humanity to drown in their sin. And so he sent his only begotten Son to each and every one of us. And that is the message of Christmas, that he sent his Son so that we could live and have life. He gave his Son. And of course, everyone knows the story of the humble way in which he came. And then the Father said, I've sent my Son into the world not to do what? Not to condemn the world, but that through him all mankind would be saved. Everybody. When you think about this just a little bit, when you get into this season, you know, things are moving and things move quick, but how thankful can we be? Not only with God and with our family, but with others, and really sharing the message of why Jesus came, because there's people that could care less. They're neutral about it. There's people that hate it, and then there's people that honor it. And so if there's anything that we could do this Christmas season, is that we could honor who Jesus is in every situation that we're in. Wow. What a gift. What a precious gift that has been given to everybody in this room. The gift of Jesus and to the whole world. So we can resolve that question. Why did he come? To save us from the penalty of sin. To rescue us. And what is the significance of his coming? The significance of his birth is that God the Father reconciled the world to himself through his Son. And that's the message. It doesn't get any clearer than that. We are a blessed, blessed people. And if we don't take an opportunity to worship him in this season and to worship him with all of our life, we're missing out on so much. I don't want to minimize this time in my own life, in my family's life, and for all of you. Don't minimize this time. You know, I love the prayer that went up and how we've probably all come through some things in 2013. There's been some seasons in our life, and now we're at the close of another season, the Christmas season, then going into a new year, 2014. And I have to always be encouraged at the end of the year. You know, you look back and you say, okay, we've made it through some things. But I want to also have the attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness and knowing that God holds all things together. And no matter what I've been through, He has that purpose and destiny for my life. So I can look forward to the road ahead. And so can you. Don't stay in the place of discouragement. Stay in the place of encouragement. And let the Lord encourage you with His love. You know, the greatest currency that can affect every culture on the globe is love. The love of Jesus is the greatest currency ever that can affect every culture, can affect the culture of your home, your life, this region. And we get it displayed to us because we understand the greatest love that could ever have happened was His birth and His death for us. I don't want to be a spoiled child. Do you? I mean, I want to be thankful. I want to be humble. I don't want to complain. I just want to say, man, my eyes have been opened to the greatest, the most precious gift for all mankind, Jesus Christ, my King, my High Priest, my Savior. That's who He is for all of us. So the last question I want to kind of hit today and really focus in on is, how should we worship this King of Glory? How should we worship Him? Well, I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read 1 through 11. And as I read this today, I want you to see in this scripture of how the people are reacting in three different ways toward Jesus, toward His birth. And I would like to say that I believe that in this chapter and in these verses, it's the same essential, it's the same reaction today that people are having toward His birth and toward who He is. And so we're going to look at this and we're going to focus on the Magi of what they brought and how they fell on their knees and they brought gifts to Him. And at the end, I kind of want to say, hey, what kind of gift are we going to bring Him this time, this Christmas? What kind of gift are we going to bring to Jesus this Christmas? Starting with chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and Herod, let me just say, I'm going to stop a little bit as we're going through this. Herod was one evil dude. He was an evil man. And he, it's known and documented of all the people that he annihilated. He killed two of his sons. He killed his wife. This guy was evil. And he was the king over Rome. Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to what? Worship him. These guys came from the east. And let me just kind of set you up a little bit with these Magi guys. I was in a temple where they supposedly where they would grind the frankincense and the myrrh and got to experience that when I was in Israel. But these guys, when they came, these were not, I don't believe that there were just three. I believe they had a whole entourage with them. And that they were very, very wealthy and very, very intelligent. And so when they came with something. They had probably people that were protecting them on their journey. But it says that they came from the east. And a lot of people think that that's from the Persia area. And we think about how the Jews were in exile, right? In Persia, in Babylon. And we think about Daniel, the prophet, and how Daniel had such an impact. So these guys probably knew all of Daniel's prophetic words and the things that he gave and what was written. So they were aware of this king. So that's as they make their way. They came to worship him. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him was troubled. So not only was Herod troubled, but all of Jerusalem was. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And this is the word of the prophet. It says, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." I want to just hit this for a minute before we go any farther. That is just absolute full-blown deception. In this day that we're living, there are people that are going to give mouth service to saying that they believe in Jesus or they believe in Christianity. And they're only doing it for their own gain. They have really evil intentions. So as it was in that day, so are we in this day. Not everybody is going to embrace him for who he is. And there are going to be many that say they believe, but yet their intentions are evil and selfish. And so in the same way back then, we have it today. One of the things I feel like the Lord was saying just this week as we were praying and talking, that there's not going to be any gray area much longer. Everything's going to be black and white. You're going to know who stands for Jesus and who doesn't, who really loves him and who doesn't, because you're not going to be able to ride the fence any longer. So it's going to get really clear, and that's good news. That's good news for America. That's good news for Rwanda. That's good news for Israel. It's good news for everywhere, that finally the bride of Christ begins to stand, to speak, and to proclaim the goodness of their king. You know, we have a lot of people trying to stop the things that we say and, trying to put them in categories of hate crimes. We have a lot of that going on. And we have spoken things here that would surely shake up a lot of organizations that are out there. But here's the thing. It's just this simple, guys and gals. It's just simple. We have a right to speak the truth about what we believe. We have freedom of speech to tell people, "I'm sorry you don't agree, but this is who I am, and this is why I am the way that I am. It's because of this man named Christ Jesus." And even the name Jesus, back then, his birth was coming under fire. And even today, you can't even speak his name without people getting stirred. I just want to encourage you, in love, stir them up. Stir them up. I'll tell you, if you will begin to proclaim him from a place of pure heart, from a place of pure worship, and you begin to proclaim him, you watch all the things that will transpire around you. There's going to be good and bad and ugly. But you will be standing for the King of Glory. It will do something in you. It will cause you to arise. I guarantee you, if he's in you, and the Holy Spirit is having his way with you, it will not cause you to cower in a corner. Now, it's not going to cause you to be arrogant and prideful either. It's going to cause you to let love abound, the greatest currency ever, no matter where you go or what you do. This life is filled with ups and downs. I can tell you, as walking through ministry for a long time, there's been things that I thought for sure was what the Lord said and was leading. And he allowed me to walk in a certain direction only to meet me at the other end with a whole different word. I thought I heard. You did. But I have something else for you. I have something else for you. I have another dimension of what you heard. That's how he is. He's so good. Where were they? Number 9. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. This is so good, this next verse. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. With great joy. They're there. He's there. He's come. The joy of the Lord had to strike them in that moment. We had this conversation on Friday a little bit in the prayer room that, you know, happiness a lot of times comes from your circumstances. If your circumstances are just right, you're happy, right? Come on. If they're just right, you're happy. But joy is something completely different than happiness. Joy is only found at the feet of Jesus. Joy is only found in that sacred place of worship and knowing Christ. Happiness can come and go, but the joy of the Lord will be what? Your strength. Man. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, fell to the ground, and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Amen. If you look at this again, in this word, you can see the people's reaction. Their indifference to Jesus, or their just being neutral about him. Even the Jews knew that he was there. I mean, the Jews knew that this prophecy was going to be fulfilled. They knew it was going to happen in Bethlehem, but they're just kind of neutral about it, you know, didn't pay much attention to it. We have that today, don't we? There's people that are just neutral about Christianity and about Jesus. But then we also see in that those verses, those 12 verses, the hostility and the rage against the Lord. And we see that even today. And then finally, it comes to the end of that where we see worship. We see the Magi falling on their knees, on their face, and worshiping Jesus. The Jewish authorities didn't really care about it. The leaders, they knew that a Messiah was coming, and it was going to be Bethlehem. But many people just ignored it. That's my concern about this Christmas. That in this Christmas holiday, as we call it, that there's a celebration in us, and that there's a word that goes out of every person. I'm going to pray that every one of you will have a word go forth from you during this season, somewhere, someplace, in some divine moment, that you will speak. Some of you may have a little fear, and the Lord knows how to help you through that. But he wants to empower you. He wants to help you. I don't want us to focus on other things. It's great to get gifts and to give, but I want us to focus on him. And I want to encourage you to do the same. The hostility was there. But see, this is what the Magi represented to me when I read this. It represented to me men and women that have a desire to honor the Lord, to honor him. So will you honor him this Christmas season in everything that you do? They brought him, it said, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought these gifts specifically because they had meaning. And the gold represented purity and great worth. This is who Jesus was, the King of Glory, the Messiah. Purity and great worth. And gold was always brought in that day to honor kings. Then frankincense. It was used in the temple for worship. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. The key ingredient of the incense used in the Hebrew worship was frankincense. And it was also used in the temple. And I think it prophesies that Jesus is our high priest in the temple, and he will be. And then myrrh, it's a burial spice. And myrrh was used for burials, but it had other reasons too. But it speaks of a sacrifice that Jesus was going to make and that he was going to cleanse the world. So how should we worship, men and women of faith? How should we worship today, tomorrow, day and night, night and day? Well, if we're going to worship, we have to make sure that our heart is right and we're in the right place. One of the things that has to happen in this Christmas season for us to worship is that we have to have a pure heart. And I think I wrote it down. Yes, she's got it. A pure heart. And what does that mean? Before worshiping the Lord, make sure that you confess your sin, that you repent, that you're cleansed and you're where you need to be. I ask that of every worshiper and singer that comes up here, that make sure that you're right before the Lord before you come up here and lead worship in the midst of these folks. Make sure if you're going to speak that you're where you need to be and you've repented and you're right before the Lord. A spirit of humility. These Magi guys, I think they were some amazing guys, but yet they humbled themselves. And they fell down and they worshiped the king, a spirit of humility. And basically what I'm saying is, if we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, we can't be a people of pride and arrogance. We have to be humble. And so a spirit of humility in relationship to the Lord. A spirit of submission. That word sometimes gets a bad rap. A spirit of submission. And all that I'm saying in that is that we surrender our will to His will. That's all I'm saying. That we surrender our will to His will. And then a spirit of abandonment. To be abandoned onto the things of the Lord. To put everything else aside and focus on our fellowship and our time with Him. Then the last thing for true worship to go forth is a spirit of obedience. You cannot worship God and leave self on the throne. You just can't do it. Oh, it might look pretty good to some folks, but you just can't worship God and leave self on the throne. You got to get Him off the throne. When I bring this into a little conclusion, because we're gonna go out into the mall and we're gonna sing. Let me put it a different way. We're gonna go out in the mall and we're gonna worship. And we're gonna worship the Lord through singing and through playing. And when we do that, we're not doing it to say, hey, this is a cool thing. No, we're doing it as a proclamation in the middle of this mall and proclaiming the real reason for this season. Because of Jesus. The true meaning of Christmas is what I'm on and what I want to share. You're going to have people that are going to be hostile toward Him. And they're going to have people that don't care. And then you're going to have a small percentage of people that are saying yes. I believe that you guys are those people. I wrote down, let the beautiful story of Christ's birth motivate you to exalt Him who died and gave you and I eternal life. Let it motivate you. In your time, thank the Lord for this perfect gift. I was thinking yesterday about standing up here, and I was thinking about just how unworthy I feel to even represent someone so awesome that's done so much for me. And I'm blown away that He loves us the way that He does. I'm blown away. I'm blown away that I'm learning what it means to be a man, and that means a full-blown lover of Jesus. And I just want you to know that this holiday season, I don't know what you think of me, but I don't really have anything to offer but Him. And we have persevered for a long time, my family, and the greatest gift that's been given to us is Him. Because I know, and I'm sure you can say with me, I know where I would be if I didn't have Him. If I didn't have somebody that could love me when I make a mistake, when I get it wrong, that won't ever, ever give up on me and won't ever, ever give up on you. And do you understand that men, women can't meet your needs? Nobody can. Only Jesus. And then He allows Himself to manifest through you to convey a love toward others that is shocking and amazing. So this holiday season, leaving a year, leaving a season, going into a new one. Men, women, young and old, you got to find Him, and you got to be with Him, and you got to hear from Him. And all your thoughts, sometimes of how you think church should run, you're going to hear a lot of this from me. It's going to implode. Because God is bringing every one of us, again, all the gray areas going away. Do you know that many titles that we have in the church today, you can't even find them in the Scripture? He's wanting you to gather. He's wanting you to worship. He's wanting you to pray. He's wanting you to get healed. He's wanting you to reflect who He is. He's wanting you to know what true worship is all about. So that you and I can fall on our knees and the joy of the Lord apprehend who we are. If you don't know Jesus today, you need to come forward and let us pray for you. Today you can make sure that things are right, that you can celebrate this. I remember the first Christmas I ever had, everybody thought I was goofy. I was like, it was so awesome. But there is only one worthy. And the Lord will use men and women to teach us and to help us. But again, all the gray's leaving. It comes down to just you and Him, knowing Him and being with Him. And when you hear each other start making excuses, try to help each other
and point out the most precious gift that has ever been given to mankind, Jesus. Not only did we get baby Jesus, we got a king who's going to rule the universe one day and will reign here on the earth. And secondly, we got a high priest who's going to worship in the temple for all eternity. And thirdly, we got a Savior that sacrificed everything for us. Makes for a good day. Sure does. Why don't you stand, Michael? Let me give you a little instruction about us. We're just going to, is that where sashay yourself down there? Something like that, I forget. But we're just going to kind of move ourselves down to the middle of the mall. We're going to make sure that everybody has song sheets. And we're going to let Michael and the singers lead out. And then we want to come in strong. Okay? You guys listen to me? Okay. We want to come in strong, but we want them to lead out. And if somebody kind of walks up to you, just move your paper over there so they can sing with you. Don't worry about how good or how bad you sound. Just know that He loves it all. And if you feel like you got a bad voice, you're probably going to get an amazing voice in eternity. And then you ones who sing real well, you're going to be even better. So Lord, let the joy apprehend us today. Let the true message of Christmas manifest through our lives and through our words. And thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to come to rescue a drowning people. Thank you for the goodness that you offer us. And Lord, I ask that you would help all those that are going through a trial right now to just trust you in it. I want us just to keep praying just for a moment. Just, Lord, I just ask that you would touch those in the room right now that have needs that only you can touch. Would you come, Lord Jesus? Holy Spirit, just come. Have your way. Move upon us.